Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I pray that you're rejoicing and glad in it. A new day, a new year. Amen. Where did 2020 go? Wow. You know, the world was going to end. And here it is, 23 years later. We're so glad you've chosen to worship with us this morning at Barbie's Grove, and maybe somebody in the parking lot, others listening on the website later. But all of you, we're glad that you're here. Most of all, the presence of the Lord. I feel special today. I've got my son, Stephen, his wife, Jana, my daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Brian, and their girls, Maggie Sue and Hannah. And they're all better looking than me, but I just... and I'm going to let you hear from Brian and from Hannah in a little bit before I preach for my hour and a half. That's a nervous little laugh, wasn't it? It's good to be in the Lord's house. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we bow before you today. Oh, Father, we thank you that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, that every knee bows at the feet of Jesus. And Father, we do it willingly, gladly, joyfully, to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. I want you to know, Holy Spirit, that you're welcome here in this service. To say, to do, to lead, to convict, to encourage, in whatever way each of us need it. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the need of every person in this room, every person that might be in the parking lot, every person that would be listening on the website. And so, Father, I thank you that you're such a great and a mighty God, powerful, omniscient God, that every need, as we surrender them to you, can be met. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Ed, and welcome and Happy New Year, everyone. And you folks from Australia, New Year happened, 24 hours ago already, I think. I don't know much about Australia, except it's a long ways from here. I learned everything about Australia from Crocodile Dundee. And so, welcome, mates. And that's about it. But we are indeed, we welcome all of our visitors this morning. You are indeed our special guests. And Noah, good to see you this morning, my friend. And always good to see you all. And that's, as we do every Sunday morning, as we start off, and traditionally we do a hymn sing. And so today we're going to do, we have come into the house, and that's the purpose we're here, to worship the Lord. Page 361, are you followed on the board? Let's all stand and sing both verses of We Have Come Into This House. said, amen. Welcome someone this morning to church, if you would, please. All right. Well, again, we welcome you all. I have a few announcements I want to bring you up to date on. Please, the Baptist men, I want to tell you, I am so pleased with the Baptist men Boston butt sale that we had. Jeff, I want to tell you, that's probably the best job that you've done ever. You and the guys have done barbecuing. It was so good. I mean, it's just yummy good. I mean, that's all I can tell you.
We enjoyed ourselves and clogged up a few arteries in the process.
Well, I want to tell you, it was some kind of good. And I can't wait to go home and have lunch with it again. So, I mean, it was that good. So,
just so everybody knows, or FYI, we
cleared about $1,000. That's very good. And I know that money will go back to serve the Lord. And I know that for sure. Amen. All right.
Thank everybody that helped. And we had a lot of people that gave some really nice donations. Thank them.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some of the slaw too, and I understand that was not supposed to be mentioned so much, but anything that good, you about have to say yum yum, you know. And it's just so good. But thank you guys, thank you so much.
Just so you know, there's already plans to throw a few more butts on the party in about 3 months.
3 months, all right. We can't wait. We just can't wait. All right. Let's talk about Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon is wrapping up, was wrapped up last week. Brenda, how did? 1,010. Okay. All right. That's good. Thank you all so much for the Lottie Moon. We appreciate that so much. We'll remind you all the Wednesday night Bible study. We will not have Wednesday night Bible study this week, and for our people to be with families and so forth, I want you to know that we'll pick it back up the following week or whenever things change. Okay? So, no Bible study this Wednesday night, okay? 2010. Oh, that's even mo better, isn't it? Yeah, I like that's not good English, but it's still good money. That's good. That's good. All right, very good. $2,010 for Lottie Moon. Amen. All right, are there any announcements that I may have overlooked? All right. Then let's go to our prayer request this morning. We spend time each Sunday morning on prayer request, and because we believe prayer changes things, without a doubt. Let's remember that I've got some that I've been listing this morning. Let's remember the Richard Edwards family, Tommy Rogers family. Those of you who don't know, that's Tom Rogers used to be the principal at West Stanley, his son. The Doug Craig family. Let's remember the trailer fire victims this morning that over on Hazard Road. I don't know all the details on it, but I do know there's a chance that life was lost. And so let's keep that in our prayers as well. Let's keep Miss Pamela in our prayers, continuing on with Pam this morning as she's continuing to battle pain. And so let's remember that God is able. And now Kathy also this morning, Kathy, our pianist, is out today. She's sick, and I believe she's doing some better, Robert, but inner ear infection. Okay, I've had that. Believe me, that's when you get so dizzy you can't walk. And I've been there and done that. All right, are there any other prayer requests that we need to add to our list this morning? Yes, Robert.
Chris, rest your family.
Chris.
Had a head-on collision.
No, what's the last name again?
R-I-S-C-H-E-O.
Okay. All right. Are there others? All right, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Yes, ma'am.
Lisa Thompson's grandson.
Yes.
Judah. He is really sick.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's Taylor.
Taylor?
Taylor Thompson.
Okay. Is his name Taylor?
Judah.
Oh.
Ron and Lisa Thompson's grandson.
Okay. Okay. All right. Oh, that's right. I talked to Ron not long ago, and thank you for reminding me of that.
Leonard.
Yes.
I was told that Pastor Stoney Benfield at Prospect's grandchild
That's the same one?
Pediatric cancer.
Yeah, but they didn't know if he had leukemia or not. Has it been diagnosed?
Yeah,
it's
diagnosed.
I mean, they just had a baby also, and the whole thing, like, they're very
overwhelmed. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I saw Ron last week, and he's... Okay, anybody else? Yes. Carolyn Carpenter up there, okay. All right. If there are no more, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, this Lord's Day, this first day in the year 2023. But Lord, while we can't explain where all the year of 2022 went, Lord, we want to thank you before I ask you for anything. We want to thank you for the blessings you gave us. The blessings that you gave us and enabled us to be here this morning. To have a place to worship, freely worship. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor. We thank you, Lord, for this church and for the leadership. And now, Lord, we ask for great things going forward. Lord, we know that nothing is too great for you. And we ask that your leadership and your guidance through the coming year. But Lord, there are those that, Lord, we have been asked to remember. And Lord, I want to be specifically with my request to you. So Lord, I ask today, Lord, that we remember the Richard Edwards family as they have lost Richard to death. The Tommy Rogers family, the Doug Craig family. And then Lord, those that are hurting with the trailer fire over off of Hazard today. We continue to pray for Pam, Lord. We ask that you would touch her body with healing. Lord, we know you're able, and we pray, Lord, for her. We pray for Miss Kathy, Lord, as she's homesick today from the Chris Richer family. We pray for Ron and Lisa Thompson's grandson. And then, Lord, we pray for Carolyn Carpenter as well. Lord, we pray now, Lord, for our church as we continue on. And Lord, we ask your blessings upon us and upon the rest of this service today as Pastor Ed comes and ministers to us. We pray, God, for the blessings upon him. And then, Lord, we will be sure to always be mindful that all the power and all the glory goes to you. And this prayer I'm making, Lord, in your name. Amen. Today we are going to our song of praise. It's one that we've done before, and it's one that you're going to know, but we're going to still do it. We'll do it with the words and with the lyrics up on the board. Change My Heart, O God is the name of the, you all remember this one, and I think you're getting good enough that we probably will not have, we'll just have the words the next time in the music. So, all right, so Change My Heart, O God. Stand with me and let's sing together today.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Sing now.
You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true.
Change my heart.
I be like you? You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like
Amen. Everybody may be seated, please. Children, you are dismissed.
Hannah leads the praise and worship in their church in Australia. And so I've asked her to come and sing a song for you. She's just graduated from high school, and she's looking for colleges, whether she'd go to college here or in Australia. I told her, I think she needs to go to Pfeiffer so she can live with Grandma and Grandpa. Somehow or another, I don't think that's going to happen. So, and then after Hannah sings, Brian, our son-in-law, will come and share for a few moments about what they're doing in Australia. So, Miss Hannah.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
What an honor and pleasure it is for us to be worshiping with you this morning. And so good day. How you going? Yeah. It's so wonderful to be with you guys. And we want to thank you, every one of you, for so warmly welcoming us here. And we're so grateful. As a family, we've been serving down under in Australia and the surrounding regions. Now we're just completing our ninth year since we launched Australia. And we've seen God work through so many different avenues of ministry since we've been there. And when we got there, we said, well, God, where are you at work? And where can we join you in your work? It's a wonderful Bible study by the Blackabees that came out. And so we were really seeking him. And it wasn't long before we became aware of drought conditions. Some of you may have remember in some of our conversations from 3 years ago that we found ourselves encountering people who had lost all hope and were in destiny. They were doing it tough. And so we had the opportunity to go into some extended drought relief trips in Queensland's outback every couple months for an 18-month period. And we've got a few pictures as well. What usually would be grass up to your knees, this first picture that you will see, that is the desolation that we saw. It was completely barren. But God was able to bring hope and encouragement over a couple of the next couple pictures there that you'll probably notice there. That is a food pantry. We were able to raise donations. I love the Australian people. The best way that I could sum it up is neighbors helping neighbors. And it's like the body of Christ coming together. And doing there. So this is obviously a few years ago. The girls were a bit younger, but we would take, and then you saw some potatoes there, the next picture. We were able to buy several tons of potatoes and food, and we'd box it up and put it in the back of our vehicle and be able to take it out to the graziers. Now, graziers are what we'd call ranchers, and their properties, the smallest property we went to was about 30,000 acres. The larger properties around 120,000 acres. Predominantly, they would raise sheep and cattle. They were the backbone of the food source, and they found themselves without the ability to continue. So a lot of them had to destock, and there was a lot of raw emotions. And God sent us right into the middle of that to bring hope and encouragement. And so there was on one trip we catered dinner for about 50 of these graziers. And followed by, we said, hey, listen, we're going to come together. One slide back. We said, we're going to come together and have a dinner and then an old-time gospel meeting. And a pastor that we were working with locally said, you won't have anyone stay. He used to be a grazier amongst them and knew every one of the people there. But I said, well, we're going to follow God. And we're going to give, we've been having some encouragement. So 50 graziers there, a little bit of a backdrop there. And that night, we saw over 30 of those graziers ask Jesus to become their Lord and Savior. And we've had outreaches. The next slide is in the nursing homes. There was a new nursing home that was built in our community, and we were allowed to come in and have services among the residents there until COVID shut us down. And we've seen men's and women's events. It doesn't matter whether it's a Boston Buck or the next slide there, you'll see food kind of. Oh, first of all, in the drought not only was in the outback that it made its way to where we were living. We were in a 3-year drought, nothing like the 7-year drought from which we were taking and ministering in. But it's amazing what a community will do and come together when there's challenges. And so we were able to go into the community halls and have prayer meetings, encourage hope. And the next slide there is in the town hall of the community. We had over 250 people show up just to pray for rain. And God moved, and we have experienced rain in the natural. We're now praying that God would send his rain, spiritual rain, and that we would see a revival among the people. And God is at work. In addition to that, so we've had some wonderful times of just sowing the community. We will walk down the street, and I'll introduce myself. Oh, yeah, you're the fella that had the prayer meeting. And so word is getting out, but it has brought an encouragement. The next slide that you'll see, that's the men's fellowship. We love getting around the Barbie or grill and having a steak or some or going out. The women's fellowship, the same. They're a little bit more dainty. You'll see the next slide is a picture of them on a veranda and having a good time. Also, children's and youth ministry. We can't leave out the kids, can we? So the next slide that you'll see there, we're having a little bit of fun with the kids and tying up to see who they could who could pull off the hose the quickest. Surrounded by anyway, we've had some great times. If children and youth ministry, marriage and family counseling, and several outreach picks to the islands as well. We've gone into Vanuatu. We've gone into Papua New Guinea, and we included one of my favorite ones. If we can move on to the next couple pictures. That's another youth event. We were able to take a big bus. We hired a bus and took a bunch of youth down to Brisbane. The next picture that you'll see there is some ministry that we were able to do in Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea. The next slide there, you'll see one of the when we were in Papua New Guinea or PNG, I was able to go with a gentleman who actually grew up in PNG. His mom and dad were missionaries, and this is called the Sepik River. It's on the top western side, right next to West Papua, which is a closed nation. And so we've been praying and believing, and this is a dugout canoe that you're seeing. It's just a big tree dug out, and they saw me coming, and they started talking. And after we had a private moment, I asked the bloke that I was with. I said, "Oh, what they say?" They said, "They've never seen a big old boy like you." And they didn't, and they said, "I'm not sure if he's going to sink our boat." But I'll tell you that that little 50 horsepower or 40 horsepower on the back of that thing was whizzing. And but it got us up to Sepik, and we made plans for. So 3 years ago, we were right here, had a wonderful time of worshiping with you. When we went back to Australia, we got in the end of January. I got word the first week we were there that that Papua was opening up and if I wanted to go to PNG. And so we were making plans for a big evangelistic outreach. We got back to Australia 2 days before the borders closed, a hard close that after a year and a half, there was still over 10,000 Australia citizens who could not get back into the nation. And so it's really kind of changed and slowed down some of the progress of some of the ministry and evangelism that we were doing in the nations. But praise God, His plans are perfect. We also, the next slide, so those are a couple boys that we met on our endeavors up the river, and it was very embracing. I believe that God is at work and will continue to provide opportunity within the islands of the Pacific Islands and PNG, Vanuatu, others, where His love and His light will be shed abroad. The next picture that you're going to see, we also helped start up a Brazilian church, preaching with a Portuguese translator there. We've had a wonderful time. We started in the garage of just a bloke there, Brazilian families. There was about 15 people that came, and they're now large enough. They rent every week. This guy here, our translator, he ended up moving back to Brazil, and so they were able to find a Portuguese pastor all the way down in Sydney, 12 hours away. He moved up to Brisbane and then took the drive a couple hours each week to minister to them. And so it's great to see that church flourishing. They actually, his name is Hasinj de Paula Silva, and they actually came back to Brazil just a couple months ago and said, "We believe that God sent us back and we've got more work to do." And so we're looking forward to reaching the Brazilian. You might say, "Well, that's kind of interesting." Well, actually, Australia, where God sent us, of the... I've got one more minute, my wife said, so I better be quick. What you'll find among the people is 30% of all citizens were born in a different nation. And 50% of all the people in Australia had at least one parent who was not born in Australia. And so it is a melting pot, and we're seeing that God has sent us to be able to impact nations right there in Australia. And so the call of ministry is on the whole family. If you'll go, we'll quickly go through a few of these slides there. That's we preach for 4 years. If you were to tell me that the Australian government had the right to close and shutter every church in Australia, I would have told you you're insane. But that's exactly what happened. And so we went online and we relaunched a church after we were able to open back up in January of 2021. We found a small community hall and we started Faith Family Christian Center, 17 people, and God's been faithful and has grown that. We had 90 people before when we were here 3 years ago, and God's built that back up to about 32 people who love Jesus, who love and are believing that we're going to see revival and that God's love will penetrate the hearts of and the lives of the people in our community. Amen. And so that's really been our mandate of prayer. The last couple, or if we'll go through these real quick, our ministry is for the whole family. You saw Sarah and I preaching. Obviously, you heard Hannah. She leads our worship. And the next picture, she also works with our children's ministry. The next picture you'll see is Maggie as well. So this is our children's ministry. The next picture there, Jeff. You see Maggie runs our, like what the gentlemen are doing up there, she runs our sound and video from the back, but then she also will get up and encourage and exhort the people. On her 15th birthday, a year ago, she preached her first full-length sermon, and so we're proud of her on those as well. And then the beginning of last year in 2023, if we go two more pictures, I think, So that's Sarah and I as a family in January. We had the opportunity, one of the assignments we have is praying for the nation of Australia and praying for revival. And the doors actually between the states opened up. The police barricades came down the middle of January of 2022. And Australia Day is the 26th. And so we found God opened the door for us to drive down to Canberra, the nation's capital. Wanted to get in to pray, and so I thought the best way we did it, the same way we did it here, is I just booked a tour of the White House, and so I found online that there were tours of Parliament House, and so we booked a tour, we got there. What we didn't know is that there was a lot of volatile activity among First Nations people, and that they had closed Parliament House, but I said, but I have a ticket. They said, it's impossible that you could have a ticket. We closed out all of our IT, and they said, in the history of technology, we've never had anyone penetrate our systems. You must be a VIP. And so they said, we'll give you a 20-minute tour and then get you out because we're expecting to have to vacate the Parliament House because of the protests. Long story short, that 20 minutes turned into a guy came down the steps and said, I'll take over. He cleared us through security, walked us straight in, took us. We had access all over Parliament other than for the personal offices of the members of Parliament. We went into the Senate. We went into the House of Representatives. We ate in the dining room. We walked in the corridors. And that prayer assignment, what I thought would be a 20-minute tour, ended up being we didn't leave until we got there early in the morning. We didn't leave until 3 o'clock that day. So here we're in the chambers of the House of Representatives praying for God to move in our nation. The next picture you'll see, we were over in the Senate. And I will tell you that God is at work in Australia, and prayer makes a difference. Just as Leonard was saying before, we believe in the power of prayer. And that's where it starts. Every major move of God, if you're a student of revivals, you will know that every major move of God or revival started by prayer and in prayer. And so we're expecting wonderful things to happen. We appreciate your prayers for us and for the people in Australia and the surrounding nations. And we just thank God for the opportunity that he's given to us to represent him and to represent you all as well in the nation of Australia. And we just want to say thank you.
I appreciate my family. Yes, we do. And you see, they all have their own special gifts. The preaching, the singing, the running the computers. I can do the little bit of preaching. I can't do the singing, and I can't do anything with the computers, but and the sound system and all. But and I'm sure glad Hannah and Maggie got their grandma's and mama's and daddy's voices instead of mine. Let me take just a moment as we think about today being the first day of the year to share a few illustrations and then see if we can make a little point with it. Several years ago, I was over at Dunn's Grove at a funeral. And before the funeral, I was out there talking with this guy. And I'm sitting there talking to him and I'm thinking, boy, he looks good for his age and for the medical problems he's had. And just about the time I was going to call his name, his dad walked up. And I realized, I'm talking to the son, not the dad. He looked so much like his dad that I thought it was his dad. And let me use another one. Many of you ladies have diamonds. And the ones I've seen have, depending on the purpose and the shape and everything, it's got all these little faces and cuts and everything. Well, you know that they weren't found like that. Some master craftsman had to look at that stone and see how it could be best shaped to bring out its beauty. You think about, some of you have been to Stone Mountain in Georgia, or you've been to Mount Rushmore, or you've seen pictures. And you think about a master craftsman taking a chisel, and I think maybe sometimes at those places they start off with a little bit of dynamite, and taking that raw rock and making it look like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. You think about some statues you've seen and how a master craftsman takes that chisel and that hammer and he begins with that block of granite and begins to chip away until suddenly, after probably many months, he has a fine-looking statue. One more. You think about those people with chainsaws and a block of wood, and they go to whacking away on that block of wood, and the next thing you know, they've got a bear or some other animal or something. Now, I've been operating a chainsaw since I was about 8, 9, 10 years old. Give me that same block of wood and that chainsaw, and when you got done, I'd have some firewood and some sawdust. Now, those of you that have seen my crafting skills in Vacation Bible School understand exactly what I'm talking about. It takes a master craftsman to make something beautiful or useful out of the raw material. Let's look at some scripture. Hebrews 2, verses 9 and 10 to start with. Hebrews 2, verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make their captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What's the purpose of Jesus coming? To take a bunch of lost sinners, rebels against God, and turn them into sons of glory. Turn us into images of our Heavenly Father. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was to take a world of people that were in rebellion against God and change us. What did we just sing? Change my heart, O God. Make it just like you. Change my heart, O God. That's the purpose that Jesus came. To make us like our Heavenly Father. And just like I was confused about talking to this son whom I thought was the Father, people around us need to see our Heavenly Father in us. They need to look and say, you know, I see some of the characteristics of God in him or in her. They need to see that we have the love, the understanding, the caring, the purity, the holiness of the Heavenly Father in our lives. Now let's skip back a few pages to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. Aren't you glad you don't have to develop the character of God in your own strength, with your own abilities? It is God working in us. He is the master craftsman who takes our lives as we are, and we're all different, depending on your personality, depending on your mental and emotional abilities, depending upon the family where you grew up. We're all different. And yet God, the master craftsman, looks at your life, my life, and says, okay, here's how I need to work with this individual to make them look like God. You are the potter. What did we just sing? You are the potter. I'm just the clay. You're the potter. I'm the clay. God is the master craftsman who is working in our lives to make us like our Heavenly Father. All right, skip on down in Ephesians to chapter 4. And verse 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God, the master craftsman, often uses the spiritual gifts of other individuals to perfect us, to teach us, to grow us, to create in us that image of God. I was thinking about, if you're building a house, you have a general contractor who oversees the whole project. But except in a few situations, that general contractor doesn't do everything. You have somebody that comes in and does the footing, somebody else that comes in and pours the foundation, somebody else that comes in and lays the brick or the block that begins. Somebody else that does the woodwork. Somebody else that comes in and does the plumbing. Somebody that comes and does the electrical. Somebody that puts the roof on. Somebody that puts the sheetrock up, and somebody that finishes the sheetrock, and somebody that paints the house, and then somebody that puts down the flooring of the house. Somebody puts in the heat and air conditioning system. All of those people with their specialties and their gifts working together to create a house. And over the period of our lifetime, God brings gifted, spiritually gifted individuals into our life to impart into us things that we need to learn to make us more like our Heavenly Father. In different seasons of our life, Somebody comes in and works. Somebody comes in and teaches. A book comes across our path. Somebody shares a testimony. God using those various individuals, and He's orchestrating it, bringing into our lives those people that are the best fit for us. And I think back over all of my life, and I think about so many special individuals that God touched my life with at certain points, and I thank God for them. I thank God for them. Now, we have to cooperate. That block of granite that that guy's working on or the lady's working on with a hammer and a chisel doesn't have any say-so. But we need to cooperate as the Heavenly Father orchestrates in our lives. We can say, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want any of this in my life. I totally reject. Or we can sort of halfway cooperate, or we can enthusiastically embrace God's working in our life. And the more we enthusiastically embrace God working in our life, then the greater our spiritual growth will be, and the more like our Heavenly Father we're going to become. Our attitude makes all the difference in the world. You know, God is not up there like some puppet master, you know, with all the little strings making the hands and the arms and the feet move and all of that kind of stuff. No, we have a choice. God created us as free moral agencies. We have a choice. But oh, what a blessing comes to us and then through us to others when we choose to embrace God working in our lives. Now, when you go on in chapter 4, and then let's go on to chapter 5. Now, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, there's a joining together of marriage and church. And we'll just skip the marriage part and leave that for another sermon. But there's some things that are said there that are very important. Verse 14 of chapter 5. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, for Christ shall give thee light. He said, we need to be alert to the spiritual condition and the spiritual needs in our life. We need to be alert to the working of God in our life. And he said, Christ will give us light if we're willing to receive that light. In verse 15, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He said, we need to walk with wisdom. Sometimes I read or hear things on the news and I'm thinking, what were those knuckleheads thinking? There's no wisdom in that. There's no sense in that. There's no common sense in that. They ought to know better. And here Paul's saying, walk with wisdom. Walk in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He said, use your time wisely. While I was thinking about this yesterday, I took my pen and paper and multiplied, and somewhere or another, I've lived like 28,500 days, you know, give or take a few. A few of you in here have lived a few longer, most of you a lot less. And I got to thinking, if I stood before the Lord today, would the Lord say, well, Ed, you did pretty good with about 500 of them? or would he say, you know, you did fairly well with a couple of thousand, but boy, you blew about 20,000 of them. Have I used my life wisely? Have I used it in a way that would honor the Lord? He says, use your life wisely. You only go around once. And we need to use our life wisely. Verse 19 talks about living a praise-filled life. Verse 20 talks about living a thankful life. And then let's look at verse 25, 26, 27. That's where it's intertwined with the husband-wife. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The key point I want to make right now is that Christ loved the church. He died for it. And then he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, when all of this world is wrapped up, God wants to come, Christ wants to come before the Father and say, look at the beauty that I created out of people who were rebellious and sinful, wanting nothing to do with you, Father. But I have created a holy, a beautiful people to your glory. To your glory. You see, that's the purpose. See, Jesus came to take us from where we are to make us like our Father. Now, as I think about this, I want to encourage you two things. One, don't get discouraged. And two, don't get proud. Remember the little chorus that the children sang? He made the sun and the moon and the stars, but he's still working on me. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, boy, the way I acted today, I sure don't look like Jesus. And we get discouraged. Well, remember, you're not a finished product yet. He is still working on you. He is still shaping you and molding you. And the warning about being proud is this. We need to be careful about pointing our fingers and saying, boy, he sure don't look like Jesus. She don't look like Jesus. God's still working on them too. And we're all at different stages of being perfected. We're all at different stages of spiritual growth. And spiritual growth, as you've heard me say so many times, has absolutely zero to do with how old you are. I know some 70-year-olds that spiritually still are in kindergarten, the nursery. And I know some 15 and 20 year olds that are in the adult, senior adult class. We're all at different stages of our spiritual growth. So there's no reason to be discouraged when we see something that doesn't look right. We just have to say, Lord, put some sandpaper on that, some holy sandpaper on that, and sand it off and make me look more like the Heavenly Father. And when we see a brother or sister who doesn't look very much like Jesus, it's not a time to be critical. It's a time to say, Lord, I thank you for what you've already done in their life. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work with them. And Lord, if you can use me to minister to them in some way, to encourage them along the way, then Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing. We're all at different stages. If we were all sitting here when 2024 starts, I pray that every one of us can say, thank God I look more like my Heavenly Father now than I did on January the 1st, 2023. That's our goal. To glorify our Father through the life that we live and our resemblance to Him. It's not that we have to do it ourselves, but our submission to the Holy Spirit, our submission to the Master Craftsman, can make us more like our Father. After all, we call ourselves Christian. Do you remember the historical context? It says they were called Christians first in what, Antioch? Because they looked like Jesus. They acted like Jesus. And the unbelievers said, well, look at those little Christs. Look at those little folk, those folks that look just like Jesus, act like Jesus. May that be our goal. May that be our goal. If there's anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. Wes will play a stanza or two. If there's someone that needs to come to the altar for some other reason, we invite you to come. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace in Jesus' name.